Father, you want love with all our heart, soul, and mind. And something deep inside wants to give that. But you know the battle that we fight every day, every moment, to set our affections on you. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us through the word preached, as the Spirit ministers to the body, to captivate our hearts, demonstrate your strength, glorify Jesus in our heart and mind. For we ask it in his name. Amen. I take it back in terms of the announcement. We will have, it's not necessarily a Bible study, but we're changing the format. We're going to have a time of prayer. Excuse me. If I kick this over, let me. I'm thinking that prayer needs to be incorporated in the life of our church a little bit more corporately. And it's not a secondary issue, although we make that usually practice the way we practice it is. And so what we'll usually do is on Sunday evenings, we'll talk about what was preached Sunday morning. You see, maybe respond to it, ask questions about it, insights from it. You know, the question may be, what did you hear God say to you through the message? And then we'll have time for prayer. And I was thinking, we probably wouldn't do it tonight because I have a funeral to do, and thought, well, I may not just have the energy, but it's not about my energy. It's about God and his power. So that will be at 6 o'clock, right back there behind the stained glass windows. Turn your Bible or your to the word in the Word of God to Galatians chapter 2 again. Beginning in verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law. Now this is Paul speaking. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. The last few Sundays have really been just kind of an exposition of this verse. I'm really, in my own life, trying to work through this and what this means. One of the things we've tried to stress is that because Christ died for me, who gave himself for me, loved me, and gave himself for me, who died for me, I have a perfect standing with God. I am totally, completely, 100% accepted by God, based totally, totally, totally upon God's, Jesus Christ's performance and his taking my sin in his body. I am 100%, God calls me or looks at me and says 100% righteous. I'm not 95% righteous. I'm not 50% righteous. I'm not 40% righteous. I am 100%. I'm better than ivory soap. because it's just 99.9% pure. I am 100%, Jesus sees me as 100% pure as he sees me in Christ. I do not have to exert 1 ounce of energy to get God's approval of me anymore. I don't have to spend any second of time, no ounce of energy. I am as accepted by God as I will ever be and as anybody can be, simply because Christ gave himself for me and loved me by giving himself for me. He died for me. He lived for me. His righteousness has been placed to my account. So I don't have to live anymore to get God's approval. I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to obey to get God's approval. I do not get his approval by obedience. I have his approval already by faith in Jesus Christ and obeying the gospel. Now some of you think, well, that sounds pretty dangerous, Richard. Well, then why obey? Well, we obey because what saved us, what gives us a righteousness that is the same as Jesus, it gives us 100% acceptance, is that we believe, we trust, we commit our life to Jesus as Lord of the world and of our lives. So it's not just believing Jesus died for my sins. It's believing Jesus is my Lord. And Lords deserve obedience. And that relationship is just implied. There is obedience. Matter of fact, Paul talks about in Romans that his job, his role, his function was to preach the gospel to bring about what? The obedience of faith. So obedience is very critical to the Christian life. It's just not what gets us right with God. Obedience has come. See now, acceptance comes from the cross of Christ. Obedience comes from the life of Christ. Paul says what? Excuse me, let me breathe. Deep breath in, out. Is that right, Crystal? He says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ in me that enables me now to obey. It not only empowers me to obey, it gives me the incentive. There's an inside incentive. I want to obey because I love him. I said last week, the Bible doesn't say, obey the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. There's a lot of people I might obey, but I don't do it out of love. I don't necessarily obey the speed limit out of love. I respect it. You know, it's got its purpose, but it's not like, oh, I love the state of Texas. Yeah, you do? Yeah, and so, you know, you don't obey. Everything we obey is not out of love. And many times our obedience to God is not out of love. Sometimes it's out of fear, because we know what we're afraid. If I don't obey, he's not going to bless me, or he's going to get me. If I don't obey, he's going to punish me. Now, that obedience has more to do with me than it does God, because I'm not obeying out of love. I'm obeying out of fear. Cute little girl, isn't it? And God doesn't want us just to love out of a fear of he's going to get us. There's an interesting passage that I read this week, and basically it says that God gives, he says, and you are a forgiving God that you may be feared. You're a forgiving God that you may be feared. It's the scripture says, if you, O Lord, mark iniquities, who can stand? For with you is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Now, does that make sense? forgiveness and fear. Forgiving God produces fear. Does anybody in the water remember that verse? It's in my daily reading. But look it up. This wasn't on. I think there's, again, two kinds of fear. We can either fear God because we're afraid he's a threat. And he is a threat. He can hurt us. We fear the damage he can do for us by our disobedience. Or there's a fear of God that comes out of affection for God, out of love for God, that we are afraid of dishonoring him. See, that's about him. It's not trying to protect us, it's trying to protect his honor, his glory. And that's what really gives us the power to live a life that honors Christ. It's what gives us the obedience. You know, what I want to get away from is this idea that it's about just keeping the rules so that God will bless you. I want us to live a life that is what we've been singing about this morning. I mean, it's this song service was all about affection for the Lord. It was about a heartfelt affection and love for him. God is not honored by our, I guess I got to do this. You know, we talked about it before. You give your wife a present, take her out on a date. Why are you doing this? It's my duty. Now, some of you would take that. It's better than nothing. But you don't feel honored by the fact, well, you know, I'm your husband, I'm supposed to do this. It's my duty. There's no honor in that. But when you say, there is nothing that would make me happier, that would give me more delight, would fill me with more joy than to be with you tonight, to see a smile on your face, to see you enjoy my presence, my company, you feel a little honored then, don't you? All of us would. Well, that's what God wants. But the thing is, how do we get that? You can't just say, I'm going to be affectionate. I mean, you can be affectionate, but you can't have affection. Where does affection come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, Christ in me. Again, constantly focusing our attention on how unrighteously we behave and live, and how on so many ungodlike things we give our minds attention to and affection to, showing us how much we say, God, talk to the hand, God. Ignore God, despise God. How unrighteous we behave, yet we are counted 100% righteous and accepted. The gospel is to be preached to yourself every day. I know something. Here he goes again on the cross. Sorry. That's how I live, or try to live. It's all about the gospel every moment. The gospel is not how you get in. It's how you stay in. There is nothing deeper, wider, taller, whatever, longer, than the love of God shown to us moment by moment in the cross. Well, how do we live this life in the Spirit? Look at John chapter 15. Just read this scripture, make a few points, and we'll close. Beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Very simple illustration. A vine, a grapevine, which life pours through with branches attached. Some bear grapes, some don't. If they don't, they're taken away. They don't bear any fruit. They're gathered, burned. If they bear fruit, they're trimmed. Things are removed from them that takes away from fruit bearing. You either bear fruit or you burn. That's what this says. You bear fruit or you burn. Now, how do we bear fruit? What is our role in it? We don't produce fruit. It didn't say he that produces fruit. We don't produce fruit. The vine produces fruit. We just bear fruit. But it's as the life comes through us that the fruit is manifest. How do we bear fruit? What does it say here? What's the big word? Abide. Abide, abide, abide. I've always wondered, what does it mean to abide? It'd be abide in Christ. I think one thing that God's doing for me is giving me a pretty interesting illustration of this. When I don't take my meds, it gets pretty crazy. I can't move very well. Everything is like pulling against resistance bands. I've said that before. The fatigue and the pain is pretty raunchy. My thinking gets pretty cloudy. There's a feeling of the weight of the world, and it becomes even depressive. That's what it feels like without the med. Now, with the meds, I do pretty well. I'm probably in the best physical shape that I've ever been in my life. If it wasn't for the fact that I don't produce dopamine. But no matter how good of a shape I am physically, if I don't have the dopamine flowing through my body, it gets pretty weird. So I'm pretty committed to taking my meds. I take about 5 or 6 a day. Mine lasts about 2 hours. After 2 hours, again, it gets funny. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to keep that up every 2 hours. I'm going to put meds in so that I can move. There can be some fluidity to my movements. And God is showing me I need to be that conscientious about seeing that the life of Christ is being fed by the word of Christ in my life. Colossians chapter 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It says right there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One of the great things about this disease is that it's weaning me off of relying upon myself. I can't. I have no natural strength to rely on. My thinking, I can't, you know, I've always felt like I had a pretty sharp mind, you know, able to mind, mouth, go. I struggle putting something that's in my heart into my mind. I may sit there all day trying to find two sentences that can express what I feel like God is showing to me. I can't depend upon myself for anything. I guess I have to depend on God. But I'm finding as I do that, as I depend upon God and recognize I got to have God's word in me all the time, a little dab of dew won't do me. And some of you don't know, I have a word, I include what dab of dew you. But just one shot in the morning doesn't carry me through the day. It's not an extended release thing. I got to do it almost moment by moment. I have to have my mind on God's word, or I get pretty rigid in my spiritual life, in my ability to love. I can't make myself love God, but I can choose to put my attention on him and on the cross. I brought this up here this morning. This can be deadly. It can be distracting, or it can be a tremendous instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit. I hardly keep the phone away from me anymore. It's not because I wonder who's got to get a hold of me. It's not checking news feeds. It's podcasts, the scripture, music. When I get in the car, I plug in something. There's several podcasts I listen to a series. It's a matter of movement or not movement. It's a matter of loving God or not loving God. Does this make sense? I mean, I need this more than I need dopamine. I mean, it's not this. I mean, this, God's word. I need his spirit speaking to me. I need it more than dopamine. And as I'm recognizing, God's saying, well, yeah, I know you're figuring this out. But as I can do what I can do, God does what I can't do. He begins to put an affection for him, and he begins to love through me. And he gives, and love takes energy. It takes a lot of energy. But he gives us this energy. As we say, it's about you. I love you. And because I love you, I want to obey you. So I'm just going to keep my mind focused on you. Now that's a fight. It's a fight to do that. But as you go along, it becomes a little bit less of a fight because you sense his power working in you. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. What's in your way of your walk with the Lord is not your weakness. It's your strength. It's those areas of your life that you depend upon yourself rather than God. I've said before, there's no way that I get up here and preach without going, oh, God, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do this. I cannot do this. I mean, wouldn't even think about getting in front of this microphone with the Bible anytime I'm teaching without saying, God, you got to do it. It's so easy to live the rest of my life with, I got it. I got it. And one of the things that God is showing me, my experience, my pastoral biblical expertise, if you will, cannot produce life in another individual. It cannot produce the love of Christ. It's very easy to depend upon my experience and everything else. But if I depend upon my experience, I'm not depending upon Jesus. And it's moment by moment. It's again, what do we say? Aim small, miss small. It's the now. God's not calling me now to love somebody tomorrow. God's calling me now to love whoever's in front of me now and love him who is with me in every now, which is Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are so easily distracted. And our heart runs to mud puddles, to sewer lines, rather than coming to you who are the fountain of living water. As we turn our hearts to you, we pray that you pull our hearts closer. As we take steps of presenting our bodies to you as living sacrifices, not just to serve you, but to be enthralled by you. We pray that you would note our weakness and let your strength just fill our hearts with your love. As we take this time again to celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are completely forgiven and completely accepted by the one whose body is represented on this table and whose blood is represented on this table, was broken and shed for us, that we might be your sons and daughters forever. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In a minute, you're going to come down and take the elements. Go back to your seat. When everybody's received, then we'll take it together. You don't have to be a member of the church, just a member of the body of Christ. I'll be standing here, and Chris will be standing here, and if you need us to pray for you about anything, we'll be glad to do it. Just stand and come.